Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So yesterday we had our second confirmation class, and it was an awesome time. And so we were kind of trying to talk about the life of Jesus and his faith and the transition to the early church. And I was kind of walking them through, well, you know, Jesus grew up and he became kind of taught people and he was a teacher and he did all these things, these miracles. And then he was abandoned, betrayed, arrested, killed, and buried. And I just kind of left. And I was like, kind of real sad like. And one of the young ladies, I'm not going to say her name, but I didn't even have time to say anything. She said, but then 3 days later, when we had church. Well, that's what this whole series is about. 3 days later, he got out of the grave. And so this whole series that we're looking at during this Easter season is he is risen. And the encounters with the risen Lord. So I want to encourage you. Those Lenten practices that we started, don't throw them away. Keep going. If the prayer was changing your life, keep praying. If the fasting was making a difference, keep fasting. If your one word reading plan was helping you get into God's Word, keep doing it. My records say we should be on Luke 5 today, which is funny because I'm going to reference Luke 5 in the sermon and didn't know that. How cool is that? See what God does sometimes? So don't throw those things away just because Easter's over. Those practices help us. They guide us. And we're going to continue to do them. And so this is our Easter tide, our Easter season journey. Last week we looked at who? Who did we look at? I got to go back to last week, sir. Okay, I was about to preach Thomas again. We looked at Thomas, also known as Twin. Read your Bibles. He's never called Doubting Thomas in there. I told y'all that last week. Twin. But what we left with was Thomas wanted to see Jesus, and where do we want to see Jesus move in our lives? And we had a powerful end of that service, and I hope it impacted your week because it changed mine. Had no idea. Well, today we're going to look at breakfast on the beach with Jesus. Now, how many people would like to have breakfast on the beach with Jesus? You better raise your hand because everybody likes breakfast, and I hope you like Jesus, and some people like the beach. Okay, some of y'all like all three of those, but I'll just settle for two. So we're going to be in John 21, picking up with verse 1, reading through verse 14. So if you can and are able, I invite you to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel this morning. 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, Galilee, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Lord, comfort us if comfort is needed. Challenge us where challenge is needed. And Lord, convict us if conviction is needed. Amen. Now, a lot of people want to get into, why did they go fishing? I'm not a big conspiracy person. Were they giving up on Jesus, or were they just tired of waiting, or were they bored, or were it just a group of guys that needed to go fishing? You pick. All that matters is they went fishing. Peter likes to fish. He knows how to fish. And his buddies go fishing with him. I've enjoyed some night fishing with buddies before because I had nothing else to do. They're kind of in this waiting pattern. Jesus has visited them. He's told them, you're going to go out in my name. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them. But now they're still waiting. So Peter says, I'm going fishing. And his buddies say, we'll go too. So they go fishing. And they fish all night and catch nothing. That's why they call it fishing, not catching. I'm a fisherman, not a catcherman. Thank you, Danny. Appreciate that. As I was preparing for this, I couldn't help but think, how low do you think Peter felt? Man, he had failed it as a disciple. He had denied Jesus. Remember, he's the one that said, I'll die with you. And he doesn't. And now here he is leading a fishing expedition with his friends, and he can't catch a thing. I imagine he felt like he just wasn't good enough. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like no matter what you do, how hard you try, it's just not good enough? But then something else happens. The sun starts coming up, and they can make out a man out on the beach shore, and he cries out to them. And a lot of translations says Jesus asked if they had fish. Well, the NRSV gets it pretty close here. He says, children, you have no fish, have you? Jesus knows. He's basically saying, hey guys, y'all ain't caught a thing, have you? No. Tell you what, take that net and throw it on the right side of the boat, you'll catch some. Now, I want you to think about being in, those of you that fish, think about being in that boat. You've fished all night. Don't you think you've tried that spot? You know, you tell somebody, well, my printer's not working. Is it plugged in? Is that not the first thing I would have checked? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, right? So if I'm in that boat, I'm throwing the net. Oh, I'll show him. You know, sarcasm. There. Oh, now there's a bunch of fish in the net. And it says the disciple that Jesus loved, talking about John the Beloved, clicks in his head. He says, I've seen this before. I've seen this. So let me take you to Luke 5, which if you're in your plan, you can read that today. But it says, verse 4, when he had finished speaking, Jesus, he said to Simon, Simon had come in from a night of fishing. He caught nothing. Simon Peter, right? He caught nothing. He comes in. Jesus basically says, hey, you're not using your boat. Can I push out and talk to everybody? He says, sure. So then Jesus preaches for a while. He teaches. And then he says, now, Simon, you get back in the boat. Push out just a little bit. Drop your nets and you'll catch the fish. Peter says, we've tried all night, but okay, we'll try it. And guess what happens? The nets begin to tear, don't they? Y'all remember that story? The nets begin to tear, and immediately Peter and James and John, they leave and they follow Jesus with the command, you will now be fishers of men. So John's saying, I've seen this before. We failed one other night and Jesus showed up. So he tells Peter, it's the Lord. Peter doesn't think a lick, does he? He just grabs his cloak. And he wasn't really naked. He had on his undergarment. But he puts his cloak on and he dives in the water. He's got to get to shore because who's there? Jesus. The Sea of Galilee. I think Peter once walked upon those waves, didn't he? You ever think as he's swimming, he's thinking, I used to have the faith to walk on these waters. And now here I am just desperate to get to the beach. See, there are times in our life where we have the faith to do great things. And there are other times in our life where we can no longer walk on the water. We just barely have enough faith to get to the shore. But once we get there, Jesus is waiting. Jesus is waiting. I love what it says. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus is already cooking breakfast. The boat just got here. Jesus didn't need their fish. That's important. I see you nodding, Tim. That's important. Let me tell you this, Jesus doesn't need your good deeds. Jesus doesn't need my hilarious sermons. But guess what? The verse then says, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. He doesn't need them, but he wants them. Jesus doesn't need anything we can offer him. He is Lord, he is God. But he wants it. He wants it. So Peter then, he's going to go be the hero. He's going to bring them up there. Breakfast is already ready. Jesus says, I don't need your fish, but bring me what you got. Bring me what you got. You see, the disciples struggled with their fishing, but the moment they became obedient to the words of Christ, everything changed. And it was more than they could ask or imagine. 153 large fish, it says. Well, what's the significance there? People have debated for years what the significance is. The significance is that's a large catch. You can feed a lot of people with that. But Jesus, the man who fed multitudes with a Happy Meal, he doesn't need their fish, but he sends them to get it because he wants their fish. He wants their service. He wants their prayers. He wants their worship. He wants their offering. He wants their witness. He doesn't need it, but he wants it. There's a song out right now that it's called Control by a band called 10th Avenue North. And this is the way it starts. It says, here I am, all my intentions, all my obsessions. I want to lay them all down in your hands. Only your love is vital, though I'm not entitled. Still you call me your child. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. And somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. See, that's what trust, that's what obedience is. The obedience to Christ is doing what we've been called to do, not because the kingdom of God needs it, but because Jesus wants it. Because all we do ends up being worship, praise, and honor to him. Sometimes it's hard when we're in ministry opportunities. Those kids wanted ice cream, but Jesus didn't need us to go do that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying what we do is not important. But what I'm saying is the King of all kings, the Lord of lords, the one that sits on his throne above all, does not need three people from Welford to go over there and give them ice cream. He could have just plopped ice cream on their plate if he wanted to. But what he wanted to see, what he wants to see, is will you be obedient to go love people? And then it's in our obedience, he says, yeah, now I want your ice cream. Because it's not about your ice cream anymore. It's about your obedience to go love children who might not have been told they were loved all week long at home. But you put a fudge bar or an ice cream sandwich or a vanilla thing or whatever that sour apple thing was in their hand, and for the first time in a week, somebody loved them. That's what obedience to Christ does. Do you see as they're bringing their fish in, right? When you're obedient to Jesus, your blessing's going to come. But then once your blessing's already come, you find out Jesus has already got more prepared for you anyway. Now think about it, those of you that fish, you bring the fish in, you still got to clean them, gut them, scale them, all that, before you can even cook them, right? Jesus is already cooking. You see how much time he saved them? Because he loved them, because they were obedient? So what, preacher? I don't like fishing. That was a good one. That was real good. If you get 75% of the church to chuckle, that was a good joke. I'm going to have to cut that out. I think what matters and what touched my heart this week is imagine that Jesus is standing right here and he says, just give me what you have. Just give me what you have. You have barely enough obedience to check the other side of the boat because I told you to, then just give me that. You got barely enough strength to fight where you are in life. The obsessions, the addictions, the ups and downs of life with children and marriages. You got barely enough strength. You just got a little bit of strength left for those things. Give me that. You got just enough hope that things are going to turn out okay, just barely some hope, give it to me. You mean your faith has dwindled down to the point where you used to run on the waves, but now you're drowning trying to swim? Your faith has shrunk to this? Give me that faith, Jesus says, because I got breakfast waiting for you on the beach. You just get to me. Jesus says, give it to me. Well, we're just a tiny little church. We try to do the right things, but it's so hard. There's so many big churches. Jesus says, don't care about them other churches. I mean, he does. But he says, give me what y'all got. Emmanuel, you got just a handful of quarters that the kids take up to go buy ice cream? Give it to me. And while you're giving them ice cream, I'll touch your heart. And that heart could lead to a salvation we'll never know about. And praise God for it. You denied me? And you got a little bit of guilt left? Give it to me. I'll pour grace on that. You don't deserve this? I got a little bit of mercy. I'll pour that on top. You got a situation you don't know how it's going to turn out, and you're terrified. I'm not the only one in here with that situation right there on their heart this morning. You got a decision to make, and you don't know which one to make it, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be difficult. And Jesus says, give it to me. Because if you'll be obedient, I'll provide the biggest catch you've ever had. And I'll cook breakfast for you in the process. So step one of how we're going to put this into practice, step one is figure out what you need to give to Jesus. We're all beat down and broken and hurting in some way, shape, or form. Not one person in here today feeling perfect. If you are, you got to work on your truth-telling. We've all stubbed our toe this week and done something. Not one person in here, especially the person with the microphone, was a perfect disciple this week. Jesus says, you got a little bit of repentance? Give it to me. So what are we going to give to him? And then two, how are we going to walk in obedience from this point on? Y'all know the rest of the story. We're going to get to it next week. But eventually, I'll give you the very end. Eventually, Peter leaves walking off with Jesus, and Jesus says, now is time. I told you I was going to build my church on you. Now is time. And Peter's, well, what about John? You love him. What's it to you? You be obedient to what I'm telling you to do. Obedience is hard because it takes our lives out of our control. And I'm going to be honest with you. And it might just be me. I don't think it is. But I was talking to a dear friend of mine recently, and we came to the conclusion that the reason we sometimes struggle with giving things to Jesus is because we don't feel like we're worthy enough to give it to him. Because if we give it to him, he's going to forgive us. But yeah, I don't even deserve to be forgiven. Just give it to him. And then be obedient to what he's told you to do and what he's called us to do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.